feel like this is the version of the scholarly kitchen lightning round. I want to thank Isabel for inviting me to
talk about Portico. We are 6 years in now, which is really hard for me to believe, so it seemed like a good time to update interested folks in where we are and how the archive is responding to the growth that we have seen over the last 6 years. So just by way of a reminder, Portico is part of Ithaca. Ithaca is in turn a not-for-profit organization that was established about 7 years ago. It works in the higher education, scholarly communications industry in a variety of different ways, primarily to facilitate an orderly transition to an e-only environment in scholarly communications. Ithaca was established with grant funding from the Andrew W. Mellon Foundation, the NEARCOS Foundation, and the Hewlett Foundation. And there are three units currently in Ithaca. So we have a strategy and research consulting unit, which does internal consulting for the other units in the group and also external consulting. There is JSTOR, which is a pretty well-known aggregation of journal back issues and starting in 2011 current issues. And then there is Portico, which I will talk about today fairly quickly. Just as a reminder, Portico works with libraries, publishers, and funders and we preserve e-journals, e-books, and other scholarly content. And we take a very long view. So our work is focused on taking a very robust approach to preservation so that the information in the archive remains available over time to future generations of researchers, scholars, and students. We are among the largest community-supported digital archives in the world, and we have just undergone and passed a very rigorous audit from the Centers for Research Libraries, according to the TRAC, which is a series of guidelines for a trusted repository, and we are to date the only archive that has undergone that audit and the only certified repository. So where are we? We now have over 120 publishers that have deposited and committed content to the archive on behalf of over 2,000 societies and associations. We have committed to the archive close to 12,000 e-journals, almost 66,000 ebooks, and 39 digitized collections. And all of the information behind these numbers is available on the Portico website. So the site has a listing of all publishers as well as the information that they have committed to the archive down to the title, volume, and issue level. We also have on the site what has actually been preserved in the archive down to the issue and article level. Our work initially began with e-journals, and we have now preserved close to 15 million e-journal articles in the archive, and it goes on. It just continues daily. We receive content from publishers on a daily basis, and it goes into our ingest system and is preserved in the archive. So you can see the growth since we launched the services in 2005. It's amazing. I mean, I started with Portico at the very earliest days, and you know, we went out there and started to talk to libraries and publishers about what their needs were in preservation, and we created our own vision for where we wanted to be in 2010, and we really have surpassed it. So it's been extremely gratifying to see the service accepted by the scholarly community. And again, here's another, just a graphical representation of the growth in the participating publishers and where we are today. We're an international archive. On the publisher side, we have publishers from around the world, primarily in the United States and the United Kingdom, but you can see the spread in other geographical areas. And I have to say at this point, the growth is really on the international side, and that holds true at the library level as well. And again, just a view of the library participation, which is now close to 700 libraries worldwide. And what you can see, you know, again, graphically, what seems to be a theme is our second largest participating country is Brazil. So they have come on board with 159 libraries, 153 libraries through the COPACE consortium. And again, the growth on the library side is primarily international through our outreach work at the consortial level. So just as a reminder for publishers, we offer three different preservation services. The e-journal preservation service that's been in place since 2005. Publishers commit to deposit their content in the archive, and they make an annual revenue-based contribution to Portico to support the work of the archive. We hadn't even begun to ingest e-journal content into the archive in about 2007 when we started to get requests from publishers about e-book preservation. And we actually had to put them off because we had a whole series of commitments that we had to fill on the e-journal side before we could undertake a new genre. So we launched the ebook preservation into the publishing community in 2008, and we now have eight publishers that have committed close to 70,000 ebooks to the archive. The model is very much the same as the e-journal service. There's a modest one-time setup fee to get the publisher set up in our ingest system. But again, it's an annual contribution revenue-based service with the revenue tiers for ebooks reflecting the fast-growing but relatively small percentage that ebook revenue brings into publisher community. So the tiers are slightly different than the e-journal revenue tiers. And again, this is all on our on the Portico website. We also launched last year what we call a decollection preservation service. So there are publishers who publish very large digitized historical collections of content that they then turn around and sell to relatively small number of customers at very high prices. So we have now working with two of those publishers, Gale Cengage and also Adam Matthew Digital, and they have both committed their collections, a fair number of their collections to Portico. The Gale collections, which are currently being ingested now, total over 10 terabytes of information. So they're very large. And just to give you an idea, those 14 million journal articles that are in the Portico archive, I think are about 11 terabytes to date. So the Gale content is closely approaching the entire size of the Portico journal archive at this point. We have a little bit of a different model for that for those collections. As you may know, that for the e-journals and the e-books, the service is based on Portico being a dark archive, which essentially only then opens up if admittedly rare, pretty dire events occur on the publisher side that prevents them from providing access to the content. So a publisher would have to go out of business, and there's no successor to the content. They discontinue titles and don't arrange for a successor. So these are rare events. I mean, they do occur, but as you know, the scholarly publishing ecosystem has a process in place that titles move around fairly readily. Most of the time it does work. Sometimes it doesn't. So the e-journals and the e-books are based on those same trigger events. And if the content needs to be made accessible through Portico, it is made accessible to all of the participating libraries that support Portico, whether or not they were previous customers of the content. That's because if one of those trigger events occurs, the publisher no longer has a business interest in the title, so it has no effect on their business if it does open up to an institution that was not a previous customer. In the case of the digitized collections, if one of those trigger events occurs, it only opens up to a publisher's previous customer of that content. So we are not actually asking the library community as a whole to support that work. The publisher is, in effect, providing that preservation service on behalf of their customers. So now that we have these three robust areas that we're providing services for, we will be offering separate services as well to the library community. So for all of the libraries that have been coming on board since 2005, they have in effect been covered, with the exception of the digitized collections, they have in effect been covered for any of the content that's in the archive, both ebooks and e-journals. beginning in 2011, we will split out the e-book service from the e-journal service. It will be offered to libraries as a slight upcharge to what they are already paying for the e-journals. All Portico participants will be covered for all of the e-books and e-journals until their existing agreements expire, and then as they renew, they'll be offered that that separate service. So we rolled this out at ALA Annual at the Portico participants meeting. We got good feedback on it. Libraries understand that as the archive grows, it makes sense for them to have the flexibility, you know, to pick and choose what kinds of content they in effect want to ensure against further loss. So that is part of our lightning round of services. That is all that I have, and I'm happy to take any questions. Anthony.
Tony. Anthony Watkinson. I'm very interested, as you probably know, in the multimedia publications with multimedia components, and I understand that you're beginning to work on how to preserve them. Is that correct? And if so, what are you doing?
We are preserving multimedia. So if content, if files come in that are linked to the documents, an e-journal article or an e-book article, and they contain audio, video, or other standardized formats, they are preserved, ingested and preserved along with the article.
How do you do it?
You mean technically? How do we do it? Well, we've developed tools that for the standard formats. Now, if it's not a standard WAVE format, or if it's not a standard audio or video format, then we preserve it at different levels. So if you're a publisher, a participating Portico publisher in this room, you will have been getting annual reports from Portico. We provide probably much more information than any of our publishers really want or need, but we actually assign a preservation level to every object that's in the archive. So an object is either fully preserved, partially preserved, or byte preserved, which is the least robust level. If we don't have a tool available for a non-standard format, whether it's text or an image, audio, video, we certainly byte preserve it, and we may partially preserve it depending on where we are in the development of that tool.
David Tempest, Elsevier. When you showed your distribution, your geographic distribution of both publishers and libraries, there was a slight gap with regard to Asia Pacific. Certainly, I didn't see Japan or China mm-hmm. represented on your charts. Mm-hmm. Can you give us a little bit of an insight into your strategy towards those sort of areas?
I can. Both of those areas represent a challenge for Portico. One of the differentiating factors of the Portico service is that, unlike other services, we have a very robust archive license agreement in place between Portico and the copyright holder of all of our content, which the publishers need to grant us an irrevocable right in perpetuity for that content. And that agreement is meant to succeed and survive any other business arrangements that are in place. And there's this very symbiotic relationship between library participation and Portico participation. It is truly chicken and egg. So when we launched the e-journal service, we actually waited 18 months before we rolled it out to libraries. We waited till we had strong commitments from publishers so that a library would see that there would be holdings in the archive that would match their own collection, so it would make it worthwhile for them to participate. Japan, right now, we're having this tension between who goes first, the publisher or the library. So we've had discussions with the National Library of Japan. They're not really anxious to join until there's some Japanese language content in the archive. The publishers, the Japanese publishers, are not feeling that pressure from their customer to have a preservation solution in place. At this point, they're not hearing that any license arrangements are in jeopardy. So it's timing, you know, and there'll be a tipping point. And when they reach that tipping point, you know, we'll be there and we're ready. We talk with them all the time. China's a little bit different. The biggest challenge to participation in the library front in China is their desire to hold a local copy of the entire Portico archive, and that is not in our plan at this time.
Okay, great. Thanks, Tony. We're going to move on to Ed.